Welcome everyone to What the Force, and welcome to our discussion on the topic of shipping. Today I have with me Ty Black.
Hello.
And returning to the show, Joanna Wallace.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on the show, ladies.
Of course.
Thank you.
This is such an interesting topic because I feel like it's one of those things that people either get or they don't get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to pull together a bunch of ladies because, you know, I feel like ladies get it. Most ladies get it right away. They're like, oh, yeah, it's like I can like these two characters' relationship as it's building. So generally, I want to kind of do a little mini warning beforehand because this kind of sets the stage and it's something that I find helps really add context to what we're talking about and why it's important to talk about. So all forms of shipping are subjective. The relationships we love, you may hate. Things we see as emotional moments leading to something may not be appreciated by some. It's all a matter of opinion. Love exists in the Star Wars universe, so we want to dive into what we saw, pulling out the subtle details that you may have missed because you weren't as focused on this as we are. And to add to that, I also want to put a caveat that there is non-canon shipping where two characters are paired together in transformative works such as art and fanfic, and that's okay too. So with that, maybe we'll start with Joanna. What do you think of shipping in general? Like, general thoughts?
I mean, without getting into specifics, I think it's mostly, it's just fun, you know? It's people participating in fandom, and it's speculative. Like, on one hand, it's speculative. On the other hand, it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very positive, and, you know, it's fun within your fandom.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's also, you know, healthy, I think, to kind of use your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
Ty, what do you think of shipping in general?
Oh, yeah. No, it's super fun. It's like an escape, but it causes you to think about things you normally wouldn't think about, I think. You know, especially if you're involved in like a transformative work, or if you're just discussing it with people who create transformative works or something like that. There's a lot of really cool ideas that people present that get under the surface of what's happening, like in a movie or if it's in a book or something. People who ship tend to find what's going on under the surface and kind of like finding their own little truths in the canon, even if what they ship is not canon.
Yeah.
There's some truths about it.
There's some mm-hmm. some nuggets of gold in there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And from my perspective, I've never considered this to be something that shouldn't happen. I've, you know, from a young age, watched musicals and watched things like Pride and Prejudice. And, you know, there are people that ship Wickham and Elizabeth. As much as we know, hey, they don't end up together. They have, you know, this kind of flirtatious thing for a while. It is not healthy. He is not a good person in the end. But people ship that because it's interesting to almost like fantasy football the people together, right?
That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
Like, and that's what it is. And I think that maybe some people just don't get that it's like an interesting emotional thought experiment.
Yeah.
That let's try these things out and see how it would play in transformative works or in fan mm-hmm. art. Like, why not? Because it takes the storytelling and says, hey, let's pound on it for a while and see if there was something there in the existing narrative that led to it. It feels false if it doesn't read well,
mm-hmm.
right? But it mm-hmm. feels good if it reads well. So that means that there was maybe something in the original work that had potential.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, Ty, you've been doing some amazing research into, I don't know, looking into kind of the history of shipping and where it originally came from.
Yeah.
And all of that. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah. A lot of people think that kind of modern shipping began with Star Trek. But it actually began a little bit before that with The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was a show that came out in 1964, kind of with the whole James Bond boom. And it focused on these two guys. I'll read the description of the show because it's super silly and I love it. The good guys, suave U.S. operative Napoleon Solo and sexy Russian Ilya Kurikin work for U.N.C.L.E., which is an acronym, stands for United Network Command for Law and Enforcement. And they battle the evil international syndicate Thrush, which is all uppercase. Never says what the acronym is. Never says what Thrush actually does. So it's just like one of those shows that it's just a James Bond kind of flick. But two of its main characters, the two guys that I just said, you know, one of them is like the typical American hero, and the other one is somebody who probably defected. Like, he's a little bit more mysterious. He's tall, dark, and handsome. And this was the first time in modern history where we saw slash fanfic. It's the first time fanfic was popular and distributed, like, publicly. Mm. First time it was published.
Can you define slash for those that might not know?
So there's gen fanfic, which is for general audiences, where there's no romantic or sexual plot lines. And then there's het fanfic, which is obviously heterosexual relationships. And then there's slash fanfic, which puts two of the characters who are of the same sex together. If it could be just attracted to each other, or it could get a little bit more heated than that. But the relationship that was the most popular one was really the slash, and I don't want to say it was the most popular one, but in the underground world of the fandom, it was one of the most talked about, was between the two main male figures, the two main male characters. Right. And it was not a very healthy relationship again, which is funny. But yeah, it was that part of the fandom that the shipping and the fan fiction and the art, like all the fan art and everything, it really paved the way for Star Trek fandom to be what it really became. Because Star Trek fandom was, you know, embraced by so many more people, and it was what some people call like the Big Bang of fandom. But The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was really the primer for that. So, but it's really cool. Like, if you go back and you see, there's a lot of zines, but it's really hard to get your hands on actual fan fiction from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., especially if it's slash, because most of it was destroyed. Most of it, you can't find it anymore. So, but
yeah. Huh, interesting.
So it's really cool. It's really cool. Like, kind of looking into that a little bit more.
There's really a quandary here about whether fan fiction and these transformative works are even something that, okay, let me take a few steps back. Is You've Got Mail a fan fiction, which I know it's from The Little Shop Around the Corner, or The Shop Around the Corner, the book, but is that story a alternative universe fan fiction of Pride and Prejudice?
That's a good point. There's a lot of those, right?
Yes. So the story of Pride and Prejudice and those, like, love tropes, jerky guy with all the power, girl with no power, cross paths, they fight each other, kind of disagree, and then eventually fall in love. Mm-hmm. That, like, trope, that thing that they have, is that just transforming and telling the story again? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that is unique? Like, just because it was published and produced as an actual movie doesn't mean that it wasn't a transformation on an original story, if I'm trying to say what I mean. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, these are just exploration of ideas, even the unhealthy relationships, which if you go back to the fan fiction episode that we had on the podcast earlier this year, it's not a bad thing to write about painful things, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and you can explore so much more, I think, with unhealthy pairings than you can with healthy pairings if you write it correctly. If you write it, you know, from a place of mm-hmm. of a, you know, of authenticity, you know.
Yeah, and I think that that's actually one of the things that gets called out the most is like why would you want to read something about an unhealthy pairing? Hey, Joanna.
Yeah, I.
Why is it interesting to us?
I think some people can relate to it, you know, because all relationships out there, I mean, there are unhealthy relationships out there. And we often see a happily ever after in a lot of media. And there are some people who can really relate to the unhealthiness of it.
And the non-perfectness of it, right? Because, like,
yeah,
a lot of the stuff that people explore, it might start really unhealthy, but it gets to a part where it becomes really realistic and things aren't perfect, mm-hmm. but these two people somehow it works in the way that they're writing it. So
yeah,
and that's realistic to people.
Definitely.
Or they separate,
yeah.
and there's some sort of catharsis and resolution for the main character that is not the victim but participating in the unhealthy relationship, because part of fan fiction is also as a way to work through things. Some authors use that way, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. I just think that, like, the argument, like, why would you ship something that's unhealthy? It's like, well, why would you watch horror movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or play violent video games or, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That argument is not a good argument, so don't get into it with me.
Yeah, it's like a fictional, it's fictional participation in something that you normally wouldn't do. Like Ty said, like playing a violent video game. Hopefully wouldn't go out and, like, you know, kill a bunch mm-hmm. of people.
Yeah.
But you're still participating in the fictional act of it.
Yeah.
And then there's the fanfic of it. So, like, fanfic that does kind of the similar type of thing.
Yeah, there's some fanfics out there that write Ben Solo or Kylo Ren specifically as a serial killer who kidnaps Rey. And I have never been more interested in a fanfiction. I was like, ooh, I'm gonna have to read this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say, like, it's like any work of fiction. It's just there, you
yeah.
know? Like, it just is. And reading about, okay, it's like reading Catcher in the Rye. Like, you know, does that make you, that you're going to be a serial killer? No.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, I think that's really important to call out, to say a lot of people just don't get
yeah.
it. They just do not get fan fiction. They do not get shipping, and they don't get like, why would we, people who enjoy this, obsess about it? Like, some people have called it being too serious about it.
Mm.
Joanna, like, what do you think about that? Like, being called too serious about something like this?
You know, within fandoms, there are people who are too serious about everything. And it's your choice. Like, if you want to get too serious by, I don't know, like, just consider someone outside of the fandom. Like, you get too serious about just the fandom itself, or you're too serious by running a group or running get-togethers or cosplaying or whatever. It just makes me laugh that it's too serious. It's just participation in the fandom of something that strikes your fancy. I mean, there are writers out there who this sparks their creativity. There are several writers who started out with, say, fanfic, and now they are published writers.
Yeah.
That is how that's their outlet. And I don't know. The saying that someone is too serious about something like this is so dismissive to me. Oh, it makes me sad. Just, like, let people do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very dismissive. And I mean, there's an argument that people are fight more about shipping amongst themselves, like what is the one true right. ship, the OTP, right, or the one yeah. true pairing. Like there's this idea that those people who maybe are fighting Finn Rey versus Kylo Rey or Reylo are more, I don't know, having a war between them versus just people being dismissive and just kind of garbage towards shippers in general. And I would argue that shippers in general are considered to be lesser. I think that's kind of changing because of Reylo just being like such a huge phenomenon since mm-hmm. The Last Jedi came out. But there's like this idea that one OTP is right. And I just don't like mm-hmm. that at all. It makes me not very yeah. happy.
I think kind of like where we are right now with this trilogy, people want to be right about their speculations and they don't really get the difference between speculation and shipping.
Yep. Yeah.
And people want to be correct. Like, I predicted this, you know? And I see that especially, like, you know, in a lot of the mixed Star Wars groups that I'm in where, you know, I'm going to make an assumption or generalization that it's like mostly fanboys who are just like, no, that can't happen because A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And they go off on all these reasons. And it's just like, is the person who's posting this, like, they may not even care about the reasons. They may just like the ship. And that's totally yeah. valid. And I mean, I think it's also valid that, you know, that they're using speculation points on the plot too. But, you know, say if this trilogy were closed and say if Reylo doesn't happen and people are still all about Reylo, like, I don't think that there would be as much arguing or controversy over it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I ship Anakin and Padme and look, we know how that ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I totally am behind your point that there is a confusion between speculation and shipping. And shipping is something that will happen whether you want it to or not.
Whether it's canon or not. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's canon yeah. or not. It is just something that people enjoy doing. Again, back to this fantasy football metaphor, because it just came upon me during this podcast and I'm going to run with it. It is like pairing people together and being like, does this work?
Yeah.
You know, does this work theoretically? If we were to alternative universe or slightly tweak the world itself where they would end up in the same environment together, you know, how would that play out? You know, what do we see in the canon to promote this idea outside of canon in a transformative way? And yeah, I think you're exactly right, Joanna. I think that we wouldn't be having this many arguments because I feel like some people on one side of the field are like, your speculation is wrong. And some people are like, it's not even speculation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about loving love.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's plenty of shippers that are providing really good speculation. And then there's shippers that don't really care about the speculation. And there's also, and that's... That's fine.
Yeah, but that's good. It's good. No, you're right. So it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's all great. But there's something that I think a lot of guys will stumble upon, or the fanboy kind of crowd that they're not involved in this sort of thing, that they'll stumble upon and it just totally turns them off to the whole thing. And it's just that there's some interactions, like specifically on like Twitter and Tumblr, that are not, that look like they're arguing, but they're not. Because there's the humor that shippers have where they do joke about, like, oh, you know, like, for an example, one of the fun speculations that shippers like to post is that Ben's going to die this really tragic death. And then somebody will comment and say, you know, how dare you, unfollow, unsubscribe, like that kind of stuff, right? And they're mm-hmm. kind of, they're just playing. There's just tongue in cheek. It's funny.
Or it is speculation, right? Like they're like, ah, I'm speculating this. But I think that the language of shipping and speculation blurs.
Yeah, especially with Star Wars.
Right? Star Wars, especially when we have an open trilogy, like you pointed out, Joanna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is a culture though. Like it's a very specific culture. And if you like stumble upon it, you're probably going to see something that you don't immediately understand. And I wish that weren't always the case. Like, I wish that people could come into it sometimes with a little bit more of an open mind. Because one of the things that when we got into a conversation, I'll say, with someone on Twitter that said that they were saying that all shippers mm-hmm. are negative towards one another and all shippers take this too seriously. You know, we're trying to explain that sometimes shipping can be more than shipping. Sometimes shipping can be more than just saying, now kiss. You know, we want these two people to be together.
Yeah. It's not Spaceballs with the figures. Yes. Where you're like... And I mean, like, to your point, like, we have a humor about it. Like, I fully admit, like, I'm Raylo yeah. trash. But that's that tongue-in-cheek in itself, that I'm calling myself trash. I'm in a group called Raylo Trash. I have a pin that says Raylo Trash. Like, I mean, there's a joke yes. there. It's like, yes, we know, we get made fun of, we get attacked, and it's an everyday thing. It's part of the fandom that we're yes. used to. But you know what? I'm just going to laugh it up.
I think that that's something that, like, it's developed into a culture of itself, right? You might ship on your own, or you might be part of an online shipping community through Tumblr, through Facebook, through Twitter, right? Where you have found other mutuals, as they like to call themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
That yep. that also see things in the canon or like to think about things in this fantasy football-like yeah. way, right? And mm-hmm. that's kind of what's awesome about it. So let's maybe pivot to like the awesome parts of shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, like straddling the line of shipping and speculation, that's like one of my favorite parts right now of just like, since we don't know what's going to happen. Episode 9 is about to start filming. We're already getting rumors and people are freaking out, and that's, I have so much fun shipping. I was not a Raylo originally. I hated Kylo Ren. He killed my Han Solo, but I came around to it. I got over it. He's my baby boy, and I want him to be okay because he's the baby boy of two of my yeah. favorite characters ever. But
and you just want him to have find some love, and you want Rey to find
I want
home.
Him to be okay. Yes. I want him to be okay, but. Just, like, hearing the rumors and the little details that come out and just the excitement that happens within the Raylo community has enhanced my fandom so much. Like, it's just, like, you come into a room of friends who you don't even know, but you know they're all friends, and you're just like, oh my god! And everyone's just like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
Like, so, that's one of the, my favorite awesome positive parts of shipping is just like we called it. It's not necessarily like mm-hmm. winning, like yeah, if I'm right that's cool, but it's just like it's the ride that is so yeah. fun to me.
Yeah, like discussing yeah. the length of Adam Driver's hair currently and like what that tells us. It's so important.
Yeah. Like, is he like the art that's been going around of him with like his facial hair in the Kylo Ren costume, and just like some people are like, oh my god, I love it, and I'm just like, no,
no mustache,
or Baldo Ren,
yeah,
oh no,
oh, I love it,
yeah,
I love it.
And I think that that's because, like, you know, we are speculating / shipping, right? Like that's
yeah,
that's where it goes, and. And that sort of speculation is not bad. I, you know, like it's just as valid as what are the socio-political outcomes of the war in space? Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, it's just as valid. It's just as valid to be like, what does it mean in the force that these two are coming together from a balance yeah. perspective? You know?
And how does it impact the story? Like,
yeah.
So that's one thing I want to touch on really quick and maybe rant a bit about.
Okay.
Is that...
I have my rant pants on.
So, like, I used to admin for a group. Won't name it. Whatever. But it was mostly male admins, and they just did not get shipping at all. Like, they kind of viewed it in a different realm, the outside of, like, speculation. And I think, you know, Raylo or Finray or Storm Pilot or whatever, that all has speculation to the storyline. And I think that it's all totally valid as far as what it could mean. You know, like, Storm Pilot would be huge for the storyline.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. And I mean, we've heard Oscar Isaacs actually say, like, he was playing it like he liked Poe.
For sure.
Or he liked, like, sorry, he liked Finn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, they viewed it like it was just kind of like this throwaway fangirl thing, that's what people did. That's what fangirls did. That's what fangirls do. And they didn't really want to entertain it. And so they relegated everything was just down to one thread. And they would delete all incoming posts that had to do with shipping. And then they would tag people in that master thread and be like, talk about it here. Like, we don't want to deal with this. We just all want it here.
Wow.
And I thought, yeah.
No, that's so wrong.
I agree. And I fought really hard. And I mean, I don't admin there anymore. And I'm not even in the group anymore. But it's just like, why were they so threatened about it? Why did they want to censor people so much to just, like, put it in one thread? I don't know. But I see that a lot in other groups of just, like, anything having to do with shipping is just kind of like a throwaway point, you know? They want the wars in Star Wars. They don't really realize how important romance is to the story.
I mean, every trilogy has a major romance thus far. And certainly Rian Johnson and, you know, even now Daisy is saying there's something there.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
Look, if the writer says this is basically a romantic scene, it's a romantic scene, guys. So I think what we really have, kind of worked out is there's speculative shipping, right? Because we've certainly identified that. And then there's this non-canon shipping. And I want to talk about that a little bit because some people consider it to be less harmful because it's like, well, it doesn't really matter, you know? It has no stakes involved, right? And then some people actually get really annoyed by non-canon ships. And I'm gonna throw a few out there. Kylux.
Yep.
Right? They are not ending up together. I'm sorry to disappoint anyone that had their hopes on that situation. But you know, it's just important to kind of be like, oh, hey, you know, what is this fantasy football relationship looking like? You know, how does it even develop? And they sometimes put it like set in the past, right? Like, so it's like they knew each other and like now the canon is like the outcome of a bad relationship, or they set it in the future and it's kind of like in a way speculative, but it's transformational in that it's not something that's probably going to happen in canon. It's not the space between canon where headcanon kind of exists. This is taking it and changing the universe so that it goes in that path. Did you want to talk about non-canon ships?
No, I really enjoy, because that's essential to fan fiction. It's absolutely essential to fan fiction to do non-canon things, because that's where the person who's flexing their writing muscles can really get creative with everything. Because the whole point of fan fiction is taking characters that exist, because that's the hardest, like, that's usually the kind of, I wouldn't say it's the hardest part, but for a lot of writers starting out, they can really learn how to write by using characters that exist. Same thing goes for any kind of fan art. I mean, taking that and kind of like through a transformative work, changing into something else teaches you how to be creative in very different ways from coming up with your own source, like your own thing. It's honestly, it's just fun to share. It's fun to share things, I think, that are not canon. Like, I don't read any, like, exclusively non-canon pairing fanfics, but I do enjoy the art.
I've read a few Kylux, and they're enjoyable in a weird way, you know. Yeah. And I you know, we'll get into our OTPs, non-canon, or and canon, I guess, any mm-hmm. OTPs in a few minutes here. But I did want to call out, so these stats are from Archive of Our Own, and this is for, and I searched it a couple of days ago, so by the time this podcast comes out, it could be totally out of date.
Should we kind of talk about Archive of Our Own, like what it is to people who don't really know?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sure. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like shipping, even now, like, I am in this shipping realm and I'm deep in the Star Wars fandom, and sometimes I will be online and I'll see acronyms or places and I'm like, what is that? And I just want to, like...
Like the word Stan, and I felt old. I didn't know what
yeah,
a,
say,
what a Stan
Yeah, see, I had to
was.
Google it. I had to Google it. Once upon a time, I had to Google yep. OTP. Like, I don't know these things. So I want to be, like, inclusive to people who
yeah,
don't really
yeah.
know
so,
what's up. So sorry to interrupt there.
No,
but
well, let's talk about Archive of Your Own. So this is a place where, and it's... Ty informed me of this, that it's who created
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's called the Organization for Transformative Works.
Yeah, and they created this site called Archive of Your Own. There used to be, or there still is, fanfic.net. There's Wattpad, and I'm sure fanfics are posted all over Tumblr as locations. Mm-hmm. But this is a place by which you can write a fanfic and put it up there and then categorize it so people who are looking for that sort of work can easily find it. And it's Googleable, and it has its own like advanced search features so that you can actually find things and mark them with the tags of, you know, what to find. And I covered this in a lot of detail in the fanfic episode, so go back and listen to that one specifically about kind of what the different tags mean, the different genres, all of those things. You can also just go to fanfic genres on Wikipedia, and it literally lists like 30 of them. So that's like, you know, alternative universe or angst or kind of just the, what is the flavor of the fanfic that you're particularly looking for? And it really just helps people find these things. Some of the other, I guess, shipping language maybe we could talk about, Stan. I didn't even know what a Stan was until a couple of months ago. Ty, please explain this one to me. I can't even because I didn't even know.
It's still weird. It's basically just loving a character so much, like, that you... And this is weird, though, because there's two different kinds of stans, right? There's the one where you're, like, you love a character so much that's pretty much, like, all you talk about. And then there's other ones that are, like, they have an account that is that character. And they are that character. And they are a stan. Am I correct, Joanna? I think that's right.
I think so. And it's also, like, I've read that, like, they can do no wrong.
Yeah, like, they love him so much they can do no wrong, yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting old. And I don't know. I probably have some 14-year-old come in and
right?
correct me.
Yeah, I feel I like I'm pretty young, and I'm like, I don't always understand all of the language, but I've seen Stan used in a couple of different ways. So
yeah, same. So I'm kind of like I'm a little blurry on it, but it's like I Googled it because I'm getting up there. And I'm like, okay, I think I kind of get the gist of it, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's like I'm not a stan, so I'm sure if I became a stan, then I would know better, but
yeah, like I see on Tumblr a lot, like I stan
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, is this a short term for understand? Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was like, I feel dumb.
That's adorable. I would have thought that too. I totally would have thought that.
I swear I'm like the oldest person.
Oh, that is
I don't
not
think
true.
That's true. That is not
I know,
true.
I know. But like I feel like half my feed is like people half my
that's,
age.
Yeah, no, so is mine. I understand that.
Yeah. You stan it. No, sorry.
I think that's part of it is like the when it becomes its own subculture, Not to say that it's not a culture. It's just a subculture is a way of describing the group of people that are doing it. It's going to have its own language associated mm-hmm. with it, you know, mm-hmm. and it's going to develop and it's going to transform over time. The language that Raylos and shippers and, you know, people that are banding together and why do they feel like they need to band together? I think that that's the important thing is that it's not accepted mm-hmm. generally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why people feel like they need to band together and find commonalities in from a cultural perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Like, because, like, what
I agree.
Joanna said, like, dudes and some women, I've seen some women do it too, literally force people out of groups and out of spaces on the internet just for shipping. And they're like, no, you can't talk about this here. You can't talk about this here because it's not, to them, it's not their Star Wars. It's not what they want to talk about. But that's not fair because
yeah. Wasn't Raylo the topic of Raylo banned on the Force.net forums?
I don't know about that one, but the Star Wars Reddit, the main sub. Or no, not the main, the Star Wars speculation sub pretty much effectively kicked out all the Raylo stuff.
Yeah. And that's so unfair because it in itself is speculation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is.
And oh, it just, it's so frustrating. And it's very gatekeeping in a way. And I think a lot of it, like, I feel like a lot of shippers are female. And I feel like it's fanboys wanting to have a power play over yeah. us. Of saying, no, they're silencing our voices. And it's so yeah. frustrating.
And I think that that's why, like, these communities and this language of shipping is developing. And it's going to become gatekeeping in the opposite direction, that there's going to be a higher barrier to entry for people who maybe come to the table later. I saw another podcast, and it's a male-run podcast, and they suddenly said, I think I get Raylo mm-hmm. now. And it was like, oh, bravo. But like the people that you have been pushing away now question whether they should even let you
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done by your divisive language.
Well, it's yeah. like the thing that the lightsaber parallels the way that both Rey and Kylo fight.
Yeah, shippers found that yeah. like months ago.
And the shippers are the ones who figured out that the Force Bond thing was a possibility. Like, that was in a fanfic, right? Like, after Force Awakens. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're way more imaginative and creative than a lot of these male fans that supposedly have been around longer than the female fans have, you know? But
mm-hmm. yeah, the analysis that I've read from Raylo shippers has been head and shoulders above, like, better than most of the speculation that I've read from just like generic mm-hmm. shippers. Like in some of the groups that I've run or admin for, we did, hey, give your predictions for Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but Raylo's got a lot yeah. of it right. You
yeah,
know?
I mean, interstellar transmissions. I call right? this out. You like know? It called Force Bonds. It called going to Snoke. It called the battle. It called killing Snoke. Like this is yep. the stuff that women see. I'm going to quote Han Solo mm-hmm. here and say, women always find out the truth.
Yeah.
No, but yep. All jokes aside, there are male shippers and there are male fanfic writers that write on romantic topics. And Ty and I actually know quite a few male Raylos because they actually had to hide from these, I don't know, garbage environments yeah. as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that sucks. That sucks that romantic speculation is not an acceptable form of speculation. And that's the yeah. problem. Mm-hmm. That is not, mm-hmm. that is the problem. Shipping aside, because shipping will happen whether you want it to happen or not. It is just what it is. It's fantasy football of relationships. Mm-hmm. Romantic speculation, be cool. It's all just speculation.
Yeah.
That's all.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, with the great introduction to Archive of Our Own, if you ever see AO3, they're referring to Archive of Your Own. And I pulled some stats just to kind of give an idea of how many fanfics with relationship bends are out there. And some of these might not be romantic pairings. I think that that's really important to call out. But most of them are. There yeah. is 72,581 as of a few days ago. So by the time this comes out, it could be massively out of date. There just will be more. People very rarely delete them. So this is for all Star Wars media. The top relationship that is listed is Kylo in as Kylo Ben or Kylo himself or Kylo slash Ben and Rey. That is 13,800. Just below that is Kylux. So this is Kylo Ren and Armitage Hux. And there is 13,695. They are off by just around 100 and a bit.
That's crazy.
What? Under that is Storm Pilot, so Poe Dameron and Finn at about 5,000. Cassian and Jyn, 3,000. Leia and Han, 3,000. Just under 3,000. Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan. Meow. Around 2,000. And then Padme and Anakin just under or just around 2,000 as well.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how the non-canon speculative stuff is way up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Beyond like the canon stuff.
Yeah. Because you know what? It is fantasy football. It's about taking two players together. Let's just call them players for those that don't like relationships. It's taking two players, putting them together and seeing, hey, can they make anything happen on the field?
And mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of people that are not into the shipping thing don't like that idea at all because they don't create art. They don't understand how art is created. Like art kind of creates itself. Like stories write themselves in a way.
Yeah, Jade Max, who in the fanfic episode called it plot bunnies. Like, it's just something that ends up in your brain and it needles at you until you get it out.
And you don't, that's why fanfiction is so popular with young writers is because they don't have to make up the characters. They just take two characters and just like, okay, I'm going to run with this idea, run with this prompt, and we'll see what happens. And a lot of guys can't wrap their heads around that because they like having facts and they like having these lists of these things like Star Wars is this and it cannot be anything else. And I think like Joanna said earlier, like guys like to say, and I'm way over generalizing this, but a lot of the ones that have been around for a long time like to say this can't happen because of this, or like they have like mm-hmm. a list of reasons, and that's not how art works. That's not how stories mm-hmm. work. They don't work as a science. They are an mm-hmm. art.
Yeah.
Yep.
But people still think it's
so science. Maybe we could chat about what our personal ships are. What are the things that we ship? And I think we're all real trash. So sorry about that,
yes.
guys.
Yep.
But it's because, you know, it leads into that speculation. So maybe is all of our OTP Raylo right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, me too. Like I'm all about it. I find myself looking for Raylo fan art all the time. Right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's what's fun. It's beautiful. These artists do beautiful works. Like you just want to look at them and be happy, and that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So maybe as a challenge we'll do non-Raylo top 3 OTP.
Ooh.
And it could be canon or non-canon.
Hmm.
Ooh.
I know.
Gosh, I just think about Raylo all the time.
I know, but like that's because it's also speculative, right? So it's in it's in our minds and it satisfies that speculation itch. So let's challenge ourselves by non-Raylo OTP.
I'm really into Finn and Rose and Cassian and Jyn. I think like Cassian and Jyn, oh my gosh, that elevator scene.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. Woo. Woo. Oh wow. Like they got it. And I mean I'm happy that it kind of I'm happy it ended the way that it did, cuz that oh my gosh. I mean it was so tragically romantic. Yeah. Them dying in each other's arms.
Oh my god. Ugh. And I am happy they didn't like kiss or anything during the movie, but it certainly does. There was enough there to be like, "Oh yeah." Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like if they would have survived, that would have been a thing. And I think that we'll see Finn and Rose together.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I feel like Rose is his like moral compass and kind of his seeing eye dog for like just the world, because he's so naive and it's so cute, and she kind of helps him along the way. I don't know what my third one is. So Ty, do you got?
I mean, I'm kind of a Storm Pilot fan, for if you want to go for like really like non-canon kind of stuff.
I'm a fan of that too. I don't think they're gonna do it, but I would totally love it.
And a reminder that Storm Pilot is Poe and Finn.
Yeah.
Stormtrooper, X-wing pilot.
It's not going to happen, but I think it's a sweet. I think it's a sweet ship. Like, I think it's a healthy ship. I mean, not saying that it has to be a healthy ship, but I do adore it. You know, for those reasons. And I mean, I really like Han and Leia. I mean, they're just.
Oh, you're so can't wholesome.
Help it. I'm sorry. I mean, like I said, I like the. The Reylo stuff is so fascinating because that's why there's so many of them. You can do the slow burn thing. You can do the fluff, right? These are all fan fiction terms that I'm using again.
You can do AU, right? Like you can do where it's set in modern day.
Because there's so much there we don't know. And it's so much fun for everyone to like put their own spin on it. And that's why it's so popular.
That's only two. Tell me three. Oh.
Did I only say two?
I'm going to demand it of you. Yeah, you only said two. You said Storm Pilot, Han. Okay. Oh, no, you said... Wait.
Oh, you did three.
You did three?
That's. Well, she said Reylo, too.
No, we're not counting Reylo.
We're not including.
Oh.
She's my co-host. I can demand this. I think my ships are more interesting than your guys'.
I mean...
Akbar and R2.
There we go.
Where's the Akbar fanfic? Like, come on.
Like, I agree.
Show him. He needs some.
I was trying to think of that too. I was trying to think of like aliens or droids.
Droid shipping.
Ooh.
Robin about, ships K2SO and L3.
That's a great ship. What about Zeta from The Legends of Luke Skywalker and R2-D2.
She loved the hand more.
Oh, but... Yeah, but...
Because the hand is Rey. I'm sorry. The hand is Rey.
Take it out of metaphor.
You shipped them? In that story?
Yeah, because the way, like, Zeta was, like, looking at R2-D2 was, like, I don't trust him, and should I trust him? And then, like, she kind of, like, warmed up to him, and then that's when Luke appeared, and she was like, no, I shouldn't have trusted him. And then they fixed her.
Yeah.
He fixed her.
Yeah. He fixed her. You're right. Okay. Time for my ships. And I don't have a particular order, because I'm still kind of thinking them through a little bit. I ship Kira and Damal.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I gotta agree with you there. There's
like,
something.
Damn! Especially with Sam Witwer's voice.
That's hilarious. I love it. I've seen some good art of Kira and Maul.
Rexoka? I mean, it really, really finalized with that hug on the Rebel ship in Star Wars Rebels when they saw each other for the first time after years.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I want she was away during the main war and then came back kind of after, but I wanted them to have a reunion after Yavin 4, and we didn't get to see that in Rebels. I don't know. I want more of them together, even though he's old now.
Aww.
I love it. I don't know.
That's a whole. That's
them
a very wholesome
so much
ship
together. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't when she was like a child, but he was also. No. I mean, it was less wholesome because he was also only 10, technically.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's weird.
I mean, it's hard. That one's a hard one to wrap your brain around. But he is so freaking supportive of her whole life.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice. And then I got to say, oh, man, you guys mentioned Storm Pilot. So I agree with that one. But I'm going to go with Holdo and Leia. And that comes from the Princess of Alderaan book and their like endless friendship. And then just like the chemistry they had on screen in The Last Jedi. Man, they had some sort of like crazy rendezvous at some point.
I love that picture of Carrie and Laura Dern. Yeah, that old picture. And also, there's a bunch of people in that picture. And I'm like, they, like, it's like the picture of the goddesses of the 80s. Who else is in it?
Oh, yeah, but, and they're together. Oh, yeah.
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 Somebody else is in that. Damn. But it's sweet. They have really good chemistry.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, so I think also I kind of want to go into a little bit of a, you know, a side topic, which is it okay to ship actors of roles?
I think it's okay to a point, but I've seen in other fandoms and stuff, like when the actor, you know, say the actors are single and then one of the actors gets in a relationship and people get really hateful toward the person that they're in a relationship with. That's a little too far, in my opinion, because, you know, this is real life and that's the person's happiness.
It's gone from speculation and transformation into obsession at that point, you think?
Yeah. So like one of them that I've seen, and this story is very Reylo in itself, is a Hanayuri Dango, or Boys Over Flowers. It's a Japanese story. It's been translated into tons of languages and been several TV shows in different languages. But the Japanese version with Jun Matsumoto and, oh gosh, why am I blanking on their names? I should know this. But the two main actors, like, they've been, like, I mean, the TV show aired, like, over a decade ago. And there's still speculation, like, are they dating? But they've dated other people throughout the several years. And even, like, I Google them from time to time, and it's just like, oh, they were, like, kind of seen going, like, having dinner together secretly. And people are like, ooh, and I mean, it's, here we are, like, over a decade later. Oh, Mao Inoue. That's her name. Sorry. Mao Inoue and Jun Matsumoto. So they have a name, Matsujun. So it's a thing, but I've seen within that community, like when Jun would date another woman, that they were just like, no, you need to be with Mao.
Oh, wow.
So that's a little, like, I'm the, just like, yeah, that's just like,
the, yeah, back that's away. Like the K-pop stuff.
Yeah.
There's a
yeah,
lot with
yeah.
That.
And like, yeah. And like they even go after K-pop stars if they suspect that they are gay and they're not even in a relationship. It's pretty bad. What happened with Aaron Yan, and like he went to a gay club once and like people attacked him and he had to leave his band and stuff.
So crazy. Aww.
Yeah. Aaron Yan
That's
is like
awful.
Aaron Yan is my favorite Taiwanese actor ever. If you must put a classification on your favorite Taiwanese actor, he is my favorite Taiwanese actor ever.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's like, I think it's definitely a little problematic to ship two real people together. But there is, I think, there's a place in which that is okay. And I think where, especially when you do, you know how a lot of people, they'll do the alternative universe fan fiction and then they'll come up with like a collage set that has like the visuals and they use pictures of like Adam and Daisy, not Kylo and Rey,
right? Because it's set in modern times, or it's
they come up with like that aesthetic. They call it like putting together an aesthetic, and I think that that's totally fine. I think it's just another way of doing a transformative work. I think it's a little bit more strange, like talking about the two actors like, oh, look at them, they're flirting, and it's like, let's not go there.
Yeah, because I mean, like, the thing about actors and Tai, like, you've done a lot of acting.
Yeah.
I've done a lot in the theater community. I direct and I've acted. The thing is, when an actor is doing intimacy, they are not thinking about the person, or they shouldn't be thinking about the person that is across from them. What they do is they put on a mask or a image of the person that they are actually attracted to, so that they can keep their work and their personal life separate. And that's something that you take when you do intimacy training. So even though you might ship those two people together outside of that world, they don't ship themselves.
Mm-hmm.
unless they cross some sort of line, end up in a weird relationship like Carrie Fisher and yes. Harrison Ford, which ends up causing a divorce. That's what you don't want, right? You want the actor mm-hmm. to have a healthy, fulfilling life outside of it, because this is just yeah. their job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, and it happens mm-hmm. all the time. Like, actors and actresses, they don't have that kind of training. Fall in love on the set with the people that they're supposed to be falling in love with on the screen. And it doesn't...
And sometimes it
doesn't
works.
Always.
Like, sometimes yeah. it works out, right? And, like, the biggest example of that I can think of that actually, like, seemed healthy mm-hmm. and good was Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle
Gellar.
Oh,
Gellar. Yeah.
They fell in love over the course of mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo. mm-hmm. And ended up getting married. And they have wonderful kids together. And they have a very healthy relationship. So, I'm not... I mean, that's the same as falling in love with your coworker, mm-hmm. but... If somebody's already married and they have a healthy relationship and they're happy and everything like that, like, leave them be. It's their own life. They are playing a role. They are not yeah. that person.
Yeah, I think that's you know? A good, mm-hmm. good point.
Yeah.
This has been a fun discussion. I don't know. Shipping is so much it fun. I love it. It's yeah. fun to see fan art. It's fun to chat about different aspects of it. It's fun to be like, oh yeah, like, now I'm totally gonna go search for some Maul and Kira fanfic after this.
Oh, there's gotta be a bunch out there by now.
I'm yeah. sure. No, I'm sure, because I there's a Twitter follower or Twitter person that we follow.
Yeah, there
Ty,
is
who she's obsessed.
She's
with
a
Maul
stan
and
she's a Maul stan.
Yeah. She's a Maul stan, yeah. And yeah, I mean, I'm so happy they got Sam Witwer to come back and do his voice, and I just want more Maul in all sorts of forms. And yeah, I mean,
shipping is
yeah,
fun.
I hope we get more media with him.
Me too.
I think we will. They left that very open. I mean, ideally I would love a movie, but I don't think we're gonna get one.
I hope we do.
Hope we get a series. I mean, I think that would be a more interesting, you know, short run series.
Yeah, or like, you know, a book yeah. about Crimson Dawn.
Ooh, comic.
I feel like they can be a bit more racy in the books,
oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at, like...
Phasma?
Or, like, Dark mm-hmm. Disciple or Rebel Rising.
Yeah.
Like, even though it was short in Rebel Rising, I was just like, whew!
Woo.
Ooh, like, my gosh, they went there, and it's a young adult book.
Oh, wow.
So, ooh, yeah. So I feel like, I don't know, in a way, I would like to see Kira and Maul in a book to see.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cool.
Maybe because I took away the Raylo conversation from the OTP, let's talk about Raylo just briefly, and then we can cool. wrap it up.
Okay.
So why Raylo, guys? Why is Raylo cool?
I mean, come
Do you
on.
Want me to start? I mean, it has all of the cinematic and literary tropes that women have loved over the years. It is a bad guy turning good who needs a redemption, who needs a girl, you
yes.
know, he needs love. The girl is good and pure, but stubborn.
Yes.
Right. And she's the one who sees the good in him. And mm-hmm. that follows. I mean, we've gone into this multiple times, you and I, Ty, but it follows these literary tropes, these narrative tropes by which, hey, they're on opposite polar opposite sides of the world, and they slowly come together and start to understand each other. And that is so satisfying. That is so satisfying in your brain. It tickles the, like, happy part of you know, it releases the serotonin in your amygdala. Like, it is mm-hmm. it is the thing that feels good to be like, hey, I can actually evoke and inspire someone to take positive change of themselves.
Yeah.
That's why I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
Are you not ready? Because I'm the only other who besides you. So for me, like, okay, Han and Leia are my two, like, favorite fictional characters. I adore them. He is the son of my two favorites. I want good for him. I want good for the Skywalker lineage. I want the Skywalker lineage to continue. Yeah. Okay?
You want babies?
I want babies. I want my boy to be happy because he deserves it. And I want him to help redeem and balance out the Skywalker lineage. Okay? I want that to happen. I want him to be okay. He's got some self-work to do. I get that. So does Rey. So does Rey. And I don't want current state Reylo because they got some work to do. But I want them both to be happy and healthy and balanced and continue on that Skywalker lineage. I want more episodes, man. I don't want this episodic saga to end here.
You want 10, 11, 12.
Yes. Because I feel like from a speculation point, like the Jedi Order or whatever they're going to call it, you know, because it's up in the air. That needs to continue. That needs to rise again. And I think that's the fate of the Skywalker bloodline, is to make things balanced again. And I think that Ben and Rey are that's going to happen. I think that would be great storytelling. And also, like, having a character face the consequences would be really fascinating too.
Yeah. I think if the Skywalker saga does end in 9, then I think it would be really cool if Rey and Ben, if the solution was to give up their power back to the universe, and that was how they balance the Force. So, like, that's kind of my current headcanon. Yeah. But I think mystical, big mystical spectacle events happening in Star Wars is something that something that's been alluded to, but it hasn't happened yet. And it would be really neat to see that happen through the power of love, of all things. And I think that would be so satisfying. And I would walk out of 9, crying. And, like,
I want to see 9 with you so bad.
I'd be an emotional wreck.
Like, I want to be, like, holding your hand. And be like,
apparently, yes. Brie Claire jumps a lot while watching movies. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I made Liam go see the movie.
Solo.
Go see Solo with me. And he was like, watching Marie Claire watch Star Wars is an experience.
Oh, and I'll be doing the same for sure. But it's, to me, like, in my head, I think about epic fantasy. I think about Brandon Sanderson. I think about, you know, all of the books and all of the stuff that I've consumed in that kind of genre. And I'm like, I can see it happening with Ben and Rey. And that, like, love to me is so important to teach kids to talk about and to experience it through these stories, that having, like, this big mystical spectacle at the end of 9 through the power of love would be perfect. And that's why I like it.
Mm-hmm. So this has been a really great discussion of shipping. I really appreciate both of you for coming on and just, I don't know, in a way hashing it out, because in a way, like, I was having trouble describing it to others. So just being able to talk about it and think about it and be like, yeah, no, this is good. I think it's just important to acknowledge it's something that exists. So be okay with it.
Romance is key to Star Wars. I mean, even George Lucas has said that romance is crucial to the story. Without like the romance between Padme and Anakin,
Han and Leia.
You wouldn't have Luke and Leia. You wouldn't, and Han and Leia, you wouldn't have Kylo Ren. I mean, this is crucial stuff to the plot.
Totally.
Yep. So acknowledge it, be okay with it, but don't dismiss it.
Yeah. If you don't like it, ignore it. Let people enjoy things.
Yes. Let people enjoy things. I think that's the thesis statement of this whole show. Let people enjoy things. Also, it's one story.
Those two things,
those two things. No, thank you ladies for coming on the show. Joanna, where can people find you?
You can find me over at the Facebook groups Galactic Fempire and Holocron Salon. I'd love to have you.
Cool.
And on Twitter at Miss Upsider.
Oh, I'm like never on Twitter.
I know,
sorry.
But people follow you.
Maybe I don't know. Like, I'm just like, hey, I'm on Twitter for a second. Look at me. Okay, bye for four
goodbye.
Months. Yeah, like other social media, I'm at Miss Upsetter, like on cool. everything. Yeah. So, but don't hit me up on Twitter because I probably won't see.
And you're
it.
Also on a different show.
Oh yeah, I'm also on another show. I'm the Star Wars Hour by Channel Star Wars.
Cool. And Ty, where can people find you?
They can find me on YouTube at Wit and Folly, and they can find me on Twitter at Black_TYM.
And I am Marie Claire Gould, and this has been What the Force, our discussion of shipping. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at WT4Show or on Facebook at What the Force Podcast. Our website is whattheforce.ca, and we are on all pod type catchers. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on iTunes or other places that you have found the show. It helps people find us. And yeah, we like talking about Star Wars, so if you want to do that, feel free to reach out to us and start a conversation. Cheers.